The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Well, good morning, Harvest. Again, we are so happy to have you. If we have any first-time guests this morning, we want to give you a special welcome. We are so happy that you're here. If you're visiting us online, thank you so much for being a part of our service this morning. If it is your first time, we would love to connect with you and get to know you. We have a special gift for you. So if you go right outside these double doors into the lobby, we have a gift that we'd love to give you. Can we just give a big hand clap to our online family and also our first-time guest this morning? So we have quite a few announcements. The holiday season is right around the corner. So as you know, we get really busy during that time. We have Operation Christmas Child boxes left. This is the very last week that you can grab a box and fill it up with lots of goodies. It has to be shipped all across the world. So we need those boxes back by next week. So if you have not grabbed an Operation Christmas Child box left, they're in the foyer right here on the table. So that's the first announcement. The next is we had Trunk or Treat last week and it's time to celebrate. So I'm going to invite Pastor Jason up. We had 975 in attendance. That's not including our volunteers. So with volunteers, we had over 1,000. People on our campus last weekend. It was amazing. And especially to our 60 volunteers, we want to thank you so much. We could not have done it without you. So we have a few gifts we want to give away.
We picked some trunks this week. They were all good.
They were all good. They were amazing.
But we just picked a few that we wanted to just like give a little shout out, a little special attention. And we created some awards, okay? Yeah. And you know it's an award when it's printed on gold foil paper.
We got as
obnoxious
as possible.
Is anyone getting blinded right now? I can hardly look at this. Our first award, I'm just picking them as I pick them up,
gotcha.
Okay? So our first award, some of these I have to explain. This is called the Family Award, okay? The Family Award goes to a family who had the most engagement from their whole family. And there was a lot of families that did this, but this family had 3 generations, okay?
The multi-generational family award.
It could be the multi-generational trunk. All right.
There we go.
So the Family Award goes to Carol McCusack. Where are you, Carol?
Carol, are you
Carol,
here?
Carol, I saw
she's
you.
Right
Come on,
over
Carol.
Here. Can you give her a big hand clap?
Come on, Carol. Do you have her? Oh.
I have it. Yeah.
And you don't just get a gold foil certificate.
Right.
There's a gift card there.
Got some fun things too.
For you as well.
Thank you.
All right.
So
and
Carol
this is,
had her.
This is hers, right?
Yeah. We'll go
not
back.
Not that one. That one.
Yeah, that was it. So it was her, her daughter, and her granddaughter.
Is that
and,
right?
Is that right?
Oh, so goodness
granddaughter
gracious.
And great-granddaughter.
Awesome.
Oh my goodness,
and a pony.
Amazing.
And a pony, because it was my little pony.
Yes.
All right, the next one goes, this is the best themed costume. All right, best themed costume.
Costume and trunk.
Because it went with her trunk.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one goes to Karen Gleason.
Karen Gleason.
And you got to see the picture here.
Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin.
If you watch Charlie Brown, they lost the pumpkin, but Karen found it. That's the story that I was told. All right. I don't know. We took a risk on this one. You want to explain this one?
You go for it.
Me?
You're doing
okay.
a great job.
So
God.
This one, on this one is I don't know if they're here, but if not, we're just going to mail it to them. So this goes to the newest family to run a trunk, okay? Newest family to run a trunk. And here's the story. So last Sunday, this family signed up to run a trunk, and none of us knew who they were. On our staff. And
we thought maybe it was a mistake.
We thought someone was pranking us or whatever. Yeah. And so we're like, we'll just see what happens. On Monday, this family pulled in and checked in with Nanette and Justin and said, we're here to run our trunk. And so Justin and Nanette gave them a spot and they set up and it was beautiful. It was amazing. They had a game, they had decorations.
Yeah.
And so, but we still, none of us knew who they were. So Lisa went over bravely and introduced herself and said something more polite than we don't know who you are, but she asked.
I haven't met you yet. I'd love to meet you.
And this family had come to Harvest 2 times pre-COVID. And then when everything shut down, they started just watching online. And they've been watching, and they've been watching, and they've been watching. And we started announcing Trunk or Treat, and they looked at each other, and they said, we should do a trunk. And so they came and they did a trunk on Monday. And so we wanted to give them an award for being the newest trunk, or maybe it should be the family from online that showed up in person award. We don't know. And so this is for the Page family.
If you're here, if you're not here.
The Page family. Either way.
You might be watching online.
Round of applause.
And you'll get an award. Okay.
We'll mail that. Most creative distribution of candy. This goes to Mike Pittman. Mike was dressed as a chef, and his candy was in a pot, and he had a ladle, and he was ladling candy out and into the kids' bags. And we thought that was so creative,
very creative,
that we wanted to give him an award. He's coming from upstairs. All right, so that's that one. And then
here he is.
Right there
we go. Hi, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
And I think in his former life, he was a chef. Am I correct? A cook. I call that a chef.
All right.
I call a cook a chef.
This one is the most Pinterest-worthy award, okay? Yeah. This took an entire family to pull it off, and they had two trunks side by side, and they were themed, like all of them matched. They had two games they were going.
This goes to
the Weaver family.
The Weavers, okay?
There's two of them.
Amazing costumes, amazing theme.
All right, awesome. So that's to the Weaver family. And then we had, good job, Weavers.
There they are as gnomes.
There they are,
so
they're
cute.
Gnomes. And then we could not have pulled off Trunk or Treat without our Harvest Youth, okay?
Yeah.
We had Harvest Youth doing lots of different jobs throughout the night. But as we were looking through the trunks, we realized we had 7 youth that were that actually ran trunks on their own, okay? Just completely on their own. And so we just wanted to give a shout out specifically to those, to Elijah and Angel and Ava, Ari, Abby, Lainey, and Kaylee. And so if any of y'all...
A lot of them are serving in different areas. But if you're here,
come up.
We have gift cards for
Pastor
you.
Lisa has a gift card for you.
We might only have one in the service. And we'll hand out the rest later. There you go.
There's a few coming here. All right. So once again, just big old round of applause, Harvest. Great job for Trunk or Treat.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah, check this video. So y'all, for 5 years, I've wanted a hot air balloon at Trunk or Treat. Every year, we've tried to get a hot air balloon at Trunk or Treat. Every year, I've called anybody I know that might know someone with a hot air balloon. And this year, it happened. It was awesome. I got a picture from someone who lives up on top of the mesa, and from their backyard, they saw the balloon in our parking lot, took a picture and sent it to me. So
that
was pretty cool. So thank you to Chick-fil-A as well, but we're not giving them a gift card. So.
Thank you to Dan and
Tammy. They should give us gift cards.
No. Okay, so this was an exciting week. We had Trunk or Treat, and then we had the opportunity to go into 9 schools this week in Albuquerque and do school assemblies with a friend of ours, Reggie Dabbs.
Yes, it was absolutely incredible. So this week we were in front of 2,286 students in public schools, and I struggle to find a favorite moment. I mean, there were a bunch. I'll tell you one favorite moment. We were in an elementary school, and Reggie was doing the assembly, and he noticed a little kid in the back corner, probably fourth grader in the back corner, and he could just tell. He saw something on his face. He could tell he was struggling, and so when the assembly ended, I saw him just kind of weave his way past all the other kids, and he walked up to the section where this kid was sitting. He pointed him out in the middle of all his friends, and he just said, "Hey, I came here to tell you today that you're awesome and you're going to make it." And the kid just buried his face in his hands, started crying, and he looked up and he said, "I don't know if I am, Mr. Reggie. I don't know if I can make it." And Reggie said, "Look at me. You can make it, and I believe in you, and that's why I came to your school today, was to tell you that." And he turned into his teacher and just hugged his teacher and just kept crying. And those moments happened all week long as we were in a public school. And this is what's exciting, too. Every school we were in invited us back. Every single school said, "Please come back. Please help us. Please be a part of this." So we're already working on bringing Reggie back next semester, and we're in hopes that we'll get into even more schools next time. So it was exciting.
And yeah, and if you follow, you know, Instagram, social media, Marie Hughes tagged us in a post thanking Taft. Harvest. Taft did Taft as well. And then we got this card. As you guys know, one of our core values here at Harvest is generosity and living with open hands. And this is a thank you note from the principal at Seven Bar Elementary. She says, "Dear Pastor Jason and Harvest, thank you so much for giving this opportunity to Seven Bar Elementary. We are so grateful for you and for your generosity. Thank you for planting seeds of joy and making a difference in the world. Blessings, Roberta Montoya, principal."
So awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
So awesome.
So that's our core value, generosity. Did they know that? No, they had no idea that that was a part of our core values and who we are. And so if you would like to be a part again in something like this, in us really just sharing the love of Jesus in Harvest, in Albuquerque and being a part of that, there are three ways to give. You can give online. You can give through the Church Center app. You can give in person. There's buckets as you walk out of the doors.
Absolutely. And here's another way to be generous this week. We've done this for a bunch of years, but Thanksgiving's coming up, and so we have committed to 30 families that are right here in our community to provide them with a turkey and everything to go with it for a Thanksgiving meal. And so what we do is we buy the turkey pan, and we've got a shopping list here, and it's a suggestion, all right? It's just to kind of get you started. The idea is you don't have to take this to the store, but you can if you want. Take your family to the store. How about that? Take your family to the store and say, what do you want for Thanksgiving dinner? And go and just fill your cart up, get everything you would need for Thanksgiving dinner. I remember when the girls were younger, we would do this with them. And we bought Oreos every year because that's what my kids wanted.
They were wishing I would buy that for them for Thanksgiving.
We didn't buy it for them, but we did buy it for another family, all right? And so we've got 30 of these. So Lisa, we'll do one, right? Who else wants to do one? Anyone? Jen, I saw your hand first.
There's a lot of other hands up.
Raise your hand if you want to take one of these home.
Our hospitality team is right around the corner, and just keep your hand raised and they'll pass them out.
That is awesome.
I think we have some in the balcony. Yep.
Do we? Yep. Yep. Awesome. All right, they're going to be gone today. So if you want one.
So these need to come back by November 20th.
Yep.
November 20th. Yep. And they go towards families at Marie Hughes Elementary. Yep.
And we'll announce later, but there will be an opportunity for you to help us to distribute this food as well on November the 21st. But we'll do that part later today. We just wanted to give you a chance to give. And you want to do this one? One more thing. No, we're Thanksgiving. Yeah.
So I was just having a conversation with some of our awesome college students from UNM this morning. And they were saying, I was asking, are you going home for Thanksgiving? One of them's going home. One of them isn't. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, you know, Sandra and Joe, the Mathers, opened up their home for us and for me. And I'm going to spend Thanksgiving with them. And I thought, how cool. That sets up our announcement perfectly this morning.
Absolutely. You know, one of our sayings around here, see if you can help me finish this sentence. I bet you can. Is we say this all the time. We say at Harvest, we don't do life
alone.
So as Thanksgiving holidays approach, we realized there's probably some families who, for one reason or another, you'll be spending the holiday here and you don't have family nearby. You don't have the time or ability to travel and be with family. And at the same time as we were thinking that, we had families come to us that said, we want to open our home for families at Harvest that might want to celebrate Thanksgiving with others. So we've created a sign up on our website. It's in our under events. It's in the Church Center app. If you're going to be here for Thanksgiving this year and you say, you know what? I'd love to get together with some other Harvest families and just be with them for the holiday. You can sign up and let us know, and then we're going to connect you with families who have come to us and said they want to open their home, and that way you don't have to do Thanksgiving alone as well. Yeah. So, isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
I love our church so much. Don't you love our church? Yes. They're incredible. All right. Lisa, thank you for helping us this morning. We have a lot going on. I have two other announcements. Next Sunday, I'm going to be interviewing, as part of our generosity series, I'm going to be interviewing my financial planner. His name is Mike Taylor. He's going to be here with us. And we've taken a couple of weeks. We've kind of gotten away from talking about money as it relates to generosity. But next week, I want to come back and I want you to hear from a financial planner. And so I asked him, I said, Mike, if you're going to be here, let's do more than just preach on a Sunday. And so next Saturday, he's made himself available for a financial seminar. It's going to be free to you, but we do need you to sign up because we are providing lunch, okay? So it's 10 to 3 next Saturday. He's going to do a 10 to noon session. We'll break for lunch. We'll provide lunch. And then he's going to do a second seminar. The morning is going to be financial planning 2.0. So the way he described it to me, he said, if you think Dave Ramsey like baby steps, that's kind of a 101. He said, I'm going to do a 201, all right? So we're going to go kind of the next place. After lunch, he's going to talk about estate planning. This is something that he's been talking to churches about a lot, and he's found it helpful. And so it's possible if you only can come for one or the other, you can do that, but they'll go together really nicely. And it's just free. We just wanted to equip you with some resources that might help you. So if you'll do me a favor, though, and sign up, let me know you're coming so we have enough food for you. And then one last announcement, and we'll finally get into the message. But men, I need you to get your phones out, and I need you to put this on your calendar. Or what I probably should say is wives, get your phones out and put this on the calendar for your husbands, because I know how some of you are, okay? So I want you to put this date on your calendar right now. Men, February 24th and 25th, this is our annual statewide men's conference. I don't have time today to tell you, but some exciting things developed this week as it relates to men's conference, and I do not want any of you to miss. So I'm giving you the date way out, okay? Because come January, when I say, what are you doing February 24th and 25th? If you tell me anything other than men's conference, I'm going to be upset with you, okay? Because I'm telling you far enough in advance. I do not want you to plan anything on the 24th and 25th. It's here in Albuquerque. I'm just telling you, it's going to be incredible. You are not going to want to miss it. So put that on your calendar. Are you ready to talk about our message today? That was a lot. Everyone just take a deep breath. That's a lot. All right. It's exciting. It's an exciting time to be at Harvest. Today, we're continuing our series, We Live With Open Hands. If you don't know, this is kind of our code language for our value of generosity. We live with open hands. Someone told me this morning, she said, Pastor, I've been walking around work and I'll feel myself starting to kind of want to hold on to things. And I just do this, Pastor, I just do this. She said, I just open my hands and I just kind of walk towards my office and I just open my hands and I just kind of let go of everything. I say, God, it's all in your hands. And that's the idea, is that we live with open hands. And today, I said this earlier, but today we're not actually going to talk about money, because generosity is not just about money. There's so much more to living a generous life. And so today, I'm really excited, because today I'm going to talk to you about being generous with your story, okay? Generous with your story. And what I want to do is I want to pause and I want to pray. And I want to ask you to just open your heart today to what God wants to say to you today. How many of you will pray that prayer with me today? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your church. Thank you for your word. As we open up your word, we are asking that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to just have your way in our lives today. Oh, we open ourselves and we just ask you to talk to each and every person about what we need to hear from you today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Generous with your story. Everyone has a story. Everyone. There's parts of your story that you're proud of. Anyone have parts of your story that you're proud of? Anyone? Anyone? There's parts of your story you're not proud of. Anyone have parts of your story? Yeah, you raise your hand faster on that one. There's parts of your story where you talk about the things that you've done, and there's parts of your story where you sometimes talk about the things that you wish you had done, right? Every one of us have a story. Friday night was the annual gala for Teen Challenge. We gathered about 500 people from across the state to support this incredible ministry that helps men and women to find freedom from life-controlling addictions. At the end of the night, the worship team played a powerful song called I Speak Jesus. And as they did, the Teen Challenge students, who are at various points along the way in the program, they walked down to the floor and they picked up a sign. Excuse me. We'll put a picture up for you. And they held up a sign that basically, in a phrase or in a sentence, it talked about who they were before they came to Teen Challenge, who they were really before they really accepted Jesus into their lives. You can see here that the signs say, lost sheep, trapped in addiction, emotionally broken. I lost to Satan's battle, angry, depressed, addicted. And so the front of the stage was just filled with Teen Challenge students and staff who held up a sign that talked about their story before they came to Christ. And as they finished, and once everyone got done filling the front of the stage, they all flipped their signs over to reveal what here's the good news. Wherever you are in your story today, it's not over yet. That's what I want you to know. And so they flipped the sign over to reveal what God has done in their life. And you'll see things like loved, befriended, the only way is God's way, God's anointed, now generation, forgiven, redeemed. The one that says Jesus junkie on the other side, I think it said heroin junkie. And so she went from heroin junkie to Jesus junkie. I'm just telling you, there wasn't a person left sitting in their seats in that moment. It was so powerful. As these individuals shared their story. And the truth is, you and I, every single one of us, have a before and after story. This is what I was before I accepted Christ, when I lived for myself, when I made my own decisions, when I did whatever I want, and now this is my after story. Every single one of us. And today, I want to encourage you to be generous with your story. And I hope to lay out for you three things that happen when we choose to live this way. But let me start with this. I want to talk to you for just a second about why do we not share our story? What keeps us from living generous when it comes to our story? And I just had four things that just kind of came to my mind this week. The first is this, is that often we don't share our story because we're embarrassed. Our enemy, the devil, loves to trap you in a shame cycle. He wants you to be so ashamed of who you were before Christ that you never testify about what God's done, because you don't want to go back there. You don't want to talk about what he's done because you're embarrassed. The enemy loves to hold things over your head. I'm talking weeks after you've been forgiven, months after you've been forgiven, years after you've been set free. He wants to keep you trapped and ashamed. Shame is a prison. I love what Brene Brown says. Brene Brown is an expert on the topic of shame. She's studied it backwards and forwards. She speaks on it often. And I read this quote this week. She said, "Shame hates it when we reach out and tell our story. It hates having words wrapped around it. It can't survive being shared. Shame loves secrecy. When we bury our story, the shame metastasizes." What a powerful explanation of shame and how it keeps us trapped. Shame will stop you from sharing your story. But I'm hoping today to convince you to break free from that and to be generous with your story. Here's another reason why we don't share our story. Is number two is that we just don't want to relive the past. Just plain and simple, we don't want to go there, right? We don't want to go there. And the word for this, really, the word for it is trauma. What I'm really speaking to in this is that some of your stories contain episodes that are just so painful that your coping mechanism has been to block them out. You're like, I don't want to go there. If I go there mentally, if I go there in a discussion with someone, it sets me back. And I just don't want to go there. I don't want to relive it. And I do want to be clear with you today that I'm actually not approaching this from a counseling perspective, although I really believe there's much wisdom to be found on this topic from that perspective. But today, I'm coming to you from a spiritual perspective. And what I want you to know is this, is that trauma will not go away on its own. Pain just doesn't dissipate. You know. They say that time heals all wounds. Can I just tell you something? It's not true. Gosh, it would be awesome if it were, but it's not. Time doesn't just magically heal. If you don't purposely go through a process to find healing from your pain and from your trauma, you will just carry it for the rest of your life. Trauma doesn't just go away on its own. Please, if that's you today, don't carry your pain away, pain around for years and years, because eventually it will come out And it almost always comes out in unhealthy ways. There's a counselor that I like to follow. His name's John Deloney, and he has a call-in show. People will call in and process, you know, different things that they're needing some help on. And I've heard him use this a few times. He'll tell someone that's got an enormous amount of pain and trauma. He'll say, "Listen, this is what I want you to do when you get off the phone. I want you to go and find a brick." He said, go to the store, hardware store if you need to. Buy a big brick and write your pain on that brick. And then I want you to go in your backyard and I want you to just carry that brick around. He said, carry it around for about 30 minutes. I want you to feel the weight of the brick that you're carrying around. And I want you to look at that brick and it's going to have the name of your trauma. And you're going to think about that trauma and you're going to feel the weight of it. He said, but after about 30 minutes, I want you to go somewhere in your backyard and I want you to set that brick down. I want you to back up from that brick and I want you to tell that brick goodbye. I want you to walk away from that brick and don't ever pick it up again. But then he says this, and then go talk to someone. Because you can't deal with it alone. You can't. That's the trick of the enemy, is that I can get through this. I'm strong enough. I'm able. I'm able to do this. But I want you to know today that trauma will not go away by itself. Let me teach you something. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this: if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and he'll purify us from all unrighteousness. Now go to James chapter 5, verse 16, that says this. It says, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Here's what we learn from these two verses. It's so powerful. We confess to God for forgiveness. We confess one to another for healing. Those are two separate things. We come to God to heal our hearts, but we confess one to another to walk through the process of dealing with our pain, our trauma, our story. We tell our story. We're generous with our story. We process that one with another. So please don't carry your story around. Today, when we come to the end of the time, I just want to set your heart up a little bit. I'm going to give you a chance to leave your trauma here. We didn't bring bricks, but you can just walk up. I'm going to invite you to leave your trauma here and to find the healing that your heart has been craving. Why don't we share our stories? We're embarrassed. We don't want to relive the past. Number three, we're afraid that our story will be used against us. This is valid, unfortunately. Have you ever trusted someone and then they betrayed you? I have. I'm sure you have. Sometimes we trust someone and they betray us, and so we make the decision that we don't want to get hurt again, and so we're not going to trust anyone ever again. And so we take our story and we find a closet in the back corner of our heart, and we push it in there, and we shut the door, and we lock the door, and we throw away the key, and we say, I'm never sharing that with someone again. Let me just tell you, if you've done that, you are trapped, because now you have to deal with your story all by yourself. And this is why we said it this morning, we don't do life alone. I don't care how strong you think you are. I don't care how mature in the Lord you think you are. I don't care how long none of that matters. Listen to me, the enemy will defeat you if you are by yourself. I've used this illustration so many times that I just can't find a better one. Lisa and I were in Africa years ago on a missions trip, and the missionary took us out to see the wild animals. And it was the first time I saw a lion that wasn't in a zoo, in a cage. And what we saw is we were actually watching a herd of impala out in a field. And then we looked over and really, really kind of too close to our van was a lion that we didn't even know was there because we were so busy watching the herd of impala. And he was just laying there. I mean, he matches the grass. He was crouched down in the grass. I mean, he wasn't making a noise. We almost didn't even know he was there. And I remember watching this unfold because the guide that was taking us around, he said, the lion is waiting for one impala to go off by itself. Because by itself, the impala, he can get him. but he can't get them when they're in the herd. He waits for the one to come off by itself. And I'm just telling you, your enemy, the devil, in fact, the Bible tells us, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I'm just telling you, the lion, the enemy, is waiting for you to isolate. You cannot deal with your trauma by yourself. It'll come out in unhealthy ways. And I do want to say this as well, that here at Harvest, to the degree that Lisa and I have the ability to control this, that I want you to know that this is a safe place. This is a safe place. At Harvest, we know that we all make mistakes. That would have been a good place to say amen. At Harvest, you kind of missed it, but it's okay. At Harvest, I'll give you another chance if you'll pay attention. At Harvest, we know that we're all sinners. There we go, there we go. At Harvest, we don't hold judgment over one another's heads for things they've done. Why? Because we've done our own things, right? This is why life groups are so important. I hear reports all the time from life group leaders. They don't betray your confidence, but they'll come and they say, oh, pastor, it's going so well. It's going so well. Because in that setting where there's 4 or 5 or 8 or 10 people, you're able to share your story in a way you can't share it in this atmosphere with everyone here. That's where healing happens. That's what James talks about. We confess our sins one to another. And so I do want you to know that if you've shared your story and you've been betrayed, that here at Harvest, that this is a safe place. This is a safe place. Here's the other reason that I think we don't share our story is that we don't understand the benefits. Plain and simple, there are some benefits to us when we decide to share our stories, when we decide to be open-handed with our story. And I don't think we understand this, and so we keep it close to our chest. So let me talk to you about 3 things that happen when you decide to be open-handed with your story. Number one, when you share your story with others, you, number one, offer worship to God. I want you to know that when you share your story, that your testimony glorifies God. Every time you tell your story of what God has done for you, you're giving glory and honor and worship to God. And I know glory and honor and worship, those are kind of churchy words. So let me say it this way. You give credit to God. You're giving him the credit. In the church, we sometimes call this sharing of your story. We call it a testimony. Testimony. Anyone else grew up in a church that had testimony time? Anyone else? I grew up in a church that had testimony time. It was, I'll just be honest, it was kind of scary. You never know what's going to happen when you give the mic to someone. But there was a good part to it. It was wonderful hearing the testimonies of what God had done. So testimony, think of it this way. If you were to be called into court and the attorney was interviewing you and interrogating you, asking you questions, you're being asked to share your testimony. That's all it is. It's your experience. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you experience? That's what that word means. In Psalm chapter 22, verse 22, it says, I will praise you to all my brothers. In other words, I'm going to tell my brothers about you, about Jesus. I will stand up before the congregation and testify, right? I'm going to share my story of the wonderful things that you've done. Now, to be fair, testimony is not just, it's not really a church word. It's not just a legal word. We all give testimonies all the time, okay? We testify about a restaurant that we've eaten out. How many of you have eaten at a restaurant and then you told someone, you gotta go and try this because it's really, really good. Come on, where are my foodies at? That's right. You testified. You just happened to testify about pizza or hamburgers or ribs or whatever it was. You testified about that. You testified probably at some point about a movie that you've watched. How many of you have recommended a movie? You recommended a movie. You testified. How many of you have testified about a book? Right? I literally was looking at Bethany. I knew. How many of you have testified about a podcast, about a band, about an album? You're getting the picture here, okay? We actually testify all of the time. And listen, when you do that, you are giving credit to that restaurant, that store, that producer, that you're giving credit there. So think of it this way. When you share your story about what God has done for you, you are offering worship to God and you are giving credit to Him. You're giving credit. But we'll try this again. Raise your hand if you could say, you know what? God has healed me. Has anyone, some of you shot your hands up fast. You just testified. You offered worship. You're giving credit. It was God who saved me. Come on. If you don't get this one right, you're kind of missing the point of the gospel. It was God who set me free. Anyone? It was God who set me free. It was God who restored my marriage. It was God who protected me. It was God who provided for me, right? By the way, I'm shocked that y'all can raise your hands because I never see it in worship. So I just had Sarah, I checked. I had to see they can raise their hands. It's pretty cool. Yeah. So, all right. We'll figure out what's happening with that. Lisa, right now Lisa's like, can I please go back to kids, please? You're giving credit to the Lord when you testify, when you share your story. You're worshiping Him. And I just have a theory that we give the devil way too much credit, and we don't give God enough. I mean, we talk all the time about how lives are being ruined and things are happening and this person's doing that and that. And like, but what about giving God the glory, the credit, the worship, the honor about what He's doing? In the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, Jesus heals a man that is both deaf and mute. And this is what happens. It says, then He commanded them they should not tell anyone. But the more He commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. They're testifying. Jesus said, don't tell him. But they couldn't help it. Can I just tell you, when you have experienced Jesus, you can't help but talk about it. I'm just telling you. You can't help but testify. This man's been touched by Jesus, and so He gives him the credit. When you share your story, you offer God worship, but not only that, here's something powerful. I want to make sure you get it today. When you offer your story, you also overcome the enemy. This is one of the most powerful secrets that I could share with you today about how to overcome the enemy. And you need to know this. The enemy's power is in secrecy. The enemy's power is in isolation. So listen, I've said this probably 3 times today. You will not overcome the enemy by yourself. It's not possible. I was thinking about, some of you might remember this. I remember going to camp in the summers, youth camp, and after, and especially powerful, you know, presence of God moment where young people are surrendering their hearts to the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit and being set free from, you know, the different things that have happened and their hearts are being healed. At some point, at the end of this time, the worship team would get up and when I was a teenager, they would start singing this song. And some of you might remember this song because it has some action with it, because I remember the whole camp all across the front, the band would start singing. They'd sing, He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. And these kids, these young people who we've all been at the altars and crying and praying and reaching out to the Lord and finding healing in our hearts. And we'd start standing up and kind of wiping the tears from our eyes. And they're singing, He's under my feet. And all of a sudden, like, you just start seeing like popcorn all across the front. And all of a sudden, we're like, He's under my feet. He's under my... And all of a sudden, something would click and we'd realize, no, wait a second. Satan had me bound, but tonight Jesus set me free. And by the end of it, I mean, the kids are just, He's under my feet. He's under my feet. And we start dancing. And come on, you know about it. What was happening in that moment is that we were testifying. We were singing about it. We were sharing our story. And so today, let me tell you how to put Satan under your feet, okay? It's the 1-2 punch. Okay? I bet you can help me. You've probably heard this before if you've been in church for a little while. So just help me finish the sentence, okay? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the... Okay, those people have read their Bibles. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. This actually comes from Scripture. Revelation 12, verse 11 says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus Christ is enough to heal your sins, to forgive you, to heal you, okay? But there's a component to overcoming the enemy that has nothing to do with the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, and it has everything to do with the words that come out of your mouth. What I'm trying to tell you today is that your words matter. We often hear them in the negative context. People will say, my dad was an alcoholic, so I'm an alcoholic. I can't help it. It's a generational curse. Someone says, my teacher in the fourth grade told me I was stupid and I never amount to anything. We use it negative. We talk about ourselves. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. And I'm here to warn you today that you need to be careful about your words, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 18, it says the tongue has the power of life and death. So let me reverse it. Just like your words can be used in the negative, they can also work in the positive. What if we spent more time talking about how Jesus set us free? You can't carry a, you know, cardboard testimony around like we did Friday night at Teen Challenge. But what if we spent more time talking about what God has done for us? I once was, but now I'm. Man, that'd make a good song. Someone should write a song about that. You know, I don't know, something, I'm just making it up on the spot. Like, I once was blind, but now I see. That someone should write that down, right? Y'all should do a song. It'd make a lot, I'm just telling you. What if we used our words to declare our freedom, to declare what God has done? Can I just tell you? Here's a secret, married couples. What if you used your words to talk about how awesome your spouse is? To declare how much you love them, to talk about how incredible they are, how smart they are, how awesome they are. Can I just tell you, you will love your spouse more if you talk good about them. You wonder why you trash your spouse at work and you get home and it's hard to love them. It's because your words matter. They matter. We overcome when we share our story. We overcome the enemy. John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who's blind at birth. And the religious people are so upset. This is such a weird story. The religious people are upset that someone's been healed, so they call the man's parents. Hey, is this really the guy? Is this really your son? Was he really blind from birth? And the guy's parents were sissies. Everyone say sissy. They were sissies because they said, we don't want to answer that because we're afraid. Why don't you ask him? He's old enough. He's of age, is what they say. Just ask him. And so they go back to the man, right? And watch what they say. They go to the man who was blind. And they say, give God the glory. In other words, remember, give God the credit. Give God the worship. Tell us that it's him. And they say this. It's weird. They say, we know this man is a sinner. And in your version, it might be like it is in mine. It might be that the word man is capitalized because they're talking about Jesus when they say this man is a sinner. They're saying, give God the glory, because we know this guy, Jesus, who's come and he's trying to do this witchcraft healing. Ah, we don't know what's going on. He's a sinner. We know he's a sinner. And listen how the man responds. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see. He's just using his words to testify. He's sharing his story. He's like, look, I'm not getting into, listen, you have coworkers who say, I don't want to talk about religion. Did anyone have anyone in your life like that? You don't have to talk about religion. You just talk about what God has done for you. That's not religious. That's your experience. That's your story. Can I tell you something? Nobody can take your story away from you because it's your story. They don't have to like it. But it's your story. That's what this man did. He said, I don't know. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I'm not talking about that. What I do know is I was blind and I had an experience with Jesus and now I see. So you share your story, you offer worship, you overcome the enemy. And number three, you open the hearts of others. You open the hearts of others. In other words, when you share your story, it has the ability to help other people. Someone right now is struggling with something that you have already struggled with. I promise you. Someone right now is going through something that you've already been through. And when you share your story, you give them hope and you open their hearts to what God can do. Psalm 66, verse 16 says, come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. Over and over in the Gospels, people have an experience with Jesus, and then they go and they share that experience with others. What I'm trying to tell you is that your personal experience with Jesus can significantly impact someone else's ability to be introduced to Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Jesus talks to a Samaritan woman, and it's kind of an awkward interaction because he has a prophetic word for this woman, and it has to do with how many men she's been with, but Jesus handles it carefully, and he delivers this prophetic word, and she has an encounter with Jesus, and she goes and she shares her experience with other people. John chapter 4, verse 28 says, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. In other words, he read my mail. And then she says this, she says, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Savior of the world? She's using her story to point people towards Jesus. And a few verses later, read this in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's what? Testimony. She shared her testimony, and now other people are putting their trust in Jesus. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay. Now they're talking to Jesus, and Jesus stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. They said, we took your word. And we went and we talked to Jesus for ourselves. And now we've heard for ourselves. And now, this is good. And now we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. I'm just telling you, that's what happens when you share your story. When you share your story, you open people's hearts to what God can do in their lives. Today, in the final moments that we have together, I'm gonna ask someone to share their story with you. So excited for this moment, to be really honest, this moment's been coming for a while, and my friend came to Lisa and I, and she said, I want to share my story with the church. That was really kind of the impetus for this whole message, is that we began to walk through this process of how do we tell this story. And I realized that it was a moment to encourage all of us to be generous with our story. Last week, I interviewed Jen, and we talked about, I told you this, I said, look, I'm going to have some guests that are going to help me, because I don't want you just to take my word for it, I want you to hear from some of my friends. And so last week, we heard from Jen. Wasn't that amazing, by the way? It was so awesome. And so today, as we talk about living with open hands and sharing our story, I want you to hear from our friend Libby Cedillo. So check out this video, and then I'll be back.
My name is Libby, and I've been at Harvest for 6 years, and this is my story. I was born in Florida. My parents decided to move to New Mexico when I was 8 years old, and then a year later, they ended up getting a divorce, and my dad moved back to Florida, and it was just my brothers and my mom and I for a little bit. And then a year later, she met another guy, and they ended up getting married, and he became a big part of my life. Ever since I was little, I can remember going to church every Sunday with my family. We probably looked really perfect to everyone on the outside, but no one really knew what was going on in the inside of the house, behind doors. From the ages of 9 to 19, I was being sexually abused by my stepfather. No one in the church or inside the household knew, and I kept that a secret. I don't know when I realized that he was doing something wrong. I just, as I grew older, I knew it wasn't right. But I felt it was too late to say anything because of how close he was with everyone in our family. He wasn't a bad dad to anyone else. So I didn't see a reason to say anything. I felt it was too late. It was my normal as well, so it didn't seem wrong. the reason I didn't say things is because even though I was hurting a lot, it felt like I would hurt a lot more people in the end, because he was a father to two daughters who needed him. He was a father to my brothers who needed a father. He was a husband to my mom who needed somebody. So why ruin something that was hurting me only and keep that a secret instead of hurting so many other people? I was hanging out with people late at night and he was getting like upset with me and trying to control my life. So then I was like, I was on the phone with him that night and he was like, you need to get home. And I said, no, I'm not coming home. And so then it just like came out. I said, you don't have control over my life. You know what you did to me. If it wasn't for all the events that was happening in the church, I don't think I'd be here. Like, I don't even think my relationship with God would be there if it wasn't for people telling me about an event or youth group going on. If I didn't feel the need to be there so I wasn't home, I wouldn't have grown a relationship with God. I didn't feel alone because I had like so many people texting me, but I did feel like a lot of eyes were on me, so I didn't know how to like, I just hid myself is what happened, so I don't know. But I never felt alone throughout my whole life at the church. Like everyone was there and no one knew what part they played in my life. They were just there. And so when everyone kind of knew what was going on, that something was going on in the house, even though they didn't know what it was, they were still there for me. So I didn't feel alone. I feel like that plays a big part in like my story is like people hearing my story and they like connect it either with them, theirs, even if it is worse than mine, or even the same or smaller, it can help them in any way that they see it themselves. But I think another big part of my story is that no one knows the part that they play in someone's life. And they may never know. I mean, some people still to this day don't know the part that they played and that they're the reason I'm still here. I think that plays a big part of my story. It's okay to have a rough patch, and it could be a very long, rough patch, but there's a reason for it. You might not know it for a very long time, but there is. It's gonna be okay, that there's a reason you're here still, and that you do turn 20 and you get to tell your story. I think I've grown a lot more because my focus isn't more on asking God to help me get away from everything. It's more just a good relationship, just actually focus on other things in my life rather than just what was going on in the home and asking him to help me through that. Now I have more things financially or even just a genuine relationship.
Maybe come join me for a minute. An incredible story, huh? We all have a story. He's going to bring us some stools, okay? Worship team, can y'all join me as well? Libby, thank you for sharing your story with us. You're the reason I'm preaching this message today. I don't know if you really knew that or not, but you were like, Pastor, I want to share my story. You said it in the video. You said, you do turn 20, and you get to stand up and tell your story. That's basically what you said. So you're now?
I'm 20.
20. Why in the world would you decide to do this?
So I don't know exactly what age I started telling myself, but at some point I was like, when you're 20, you're going to stand on stage and tell your story. I didn't believe it. It was just something I told myself to get me through every day. I think God knew. I think that was his purpose all along.
Yeah.
My whole life I didn't know. I didn't tell anybody because I didn't have anybody that I knew went through the same thing. I didn't think people went through the same thing as I did because I'd never heard any stories like that. I mean, as I got older, I did. I heard stories, and I realized that none of those people got an opportunity to see God and what he does and that he still has a purpose for them, that God loves them, that they're not alone. And I have this opportunity to stand on a stage and not just tell my story, but have them have the opportunity to know that they're not alone, that God still has a purpose for them.
Yeah. You just preached my whole message in like 60 seconds. And everyone's wondering why I did what I did, and you just did that.
One of the things I love about your story is how you pointed out how along the way there were hundreds, if not more, of these glimmers of hope along the way. Phone calls and text messages and youth events. And you said to Lisa and I, you know, privately, you've talked about how you wouldn't have made it without the church. Talk to us for a minute about that part of your story.
I mean, I've always been a part of the church. So in youth, when I got a phone, a lot of my leaders would text me like, oh, like, have a good week. God loves you. I love you. Whatever. I was 16. I probably didn't even respond at the text messages.
I was
like,
one of those.
Okay. and they didn't mean anything to me at the time. But I think now that I'm looking back at it, those little moments, like, they made me realize I wasn't alone, that I had a church behind me no matter what, that they loved me. It's like a little drop of penny in a bucket. Like, you don't realize the little ones, they add up.
They add up. That's so good. Libby, someone here today has a story they've never told. They're probably still in the middle of it, and they're trapped because they don't want to talk about it. What do you say to them today?
You're not alone. I mean, I wasn't alone. It might be a really long, 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 rough patch. I mean, it was really long for me.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that you're still here, that I'm still here, that you're in this church, you're in the building, you're surrounded by these people.
Yeah.
God still has a purpose for you.
So proud of you. So proud of you. So here's kind of a cool detail for today. So we started planning this, and I didn't know this was happening. This Libby's a leader. She took it upon herself to text Pastor Sarah, and she picked the worship songs for today. I didn't even know that until like 2 weeks ago. And she said, these are songs that meant something to me, you know, and they all kind of had a meaning. And we're about to sing our final worship song, and just so happens, not trying to plan this, that it was the same song that gave Jen Weaver hope that she talked about last week. So this song talks about, I'm going to see a victory, right? So in just a minute, in fact, why don't we do this? Why don't you stand up with us? Libby, you stand up with me. In just a minute, worship team's going to lead this song. And I don't ever want to just share a story to share a story. Like, your story today, I'm 100% sure, has opened people's hearts to believe that what's happening in their story can end in a victory. So take 60 seconds or so. Talk to us about why you chose this song to end. Give some friends some hope today. And then the worship team's going to start singing it, okay? And people are going to start coming. They're going to start coming, and they're going to, you know, it's what we said earlier. They're proverbially going to bring their brick, their pain, their trauma, their mess. And we're going to have them leave it here today. We're going to find victory today. Because I know you believe that. I know you do. So talk to us about this song and why it's important and why people should not stay in their seats but come today to find healing.
I lost my
It's okay.
thought. My whole life, I struggled a lot, but not like too much. And then, like I said, I couldn't have done that without the church. But the hardest part of my life was when I finally opened up about what was going on in the home. And my life started falling apart in front of my eyes. I wasn't home. I didn't have a relationship with my family anymore. I felt disconnected from God. I stopped coming to church. But again, throughout the whole moment, I never stopped getting text messages. I think I got the most at that point in my life. And I still didn't respond. But I didn't feel alone. And I slowly started coming back to church, and I never felt so welcomed in my life. And I still didn't feel like I was ever going to see any good come out of this. I really thought that I started telling myself I should have just ran away. I shouldn't have said anything, that they would have been better off if I would have just left. And I'm seeing a victory right now.
Come on. Come on.
I have one more thing to say. in the bridge it says that he takes what the enemy meant for evil and he turns it for good. God took the hardest part of my life and what the enemy was destroying my home, and my family, and he's turning it for good.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm seeing this victory right now.
Can he do it for anyone else?
Yes, he can do it.
Or is he done? Is he out of miracles?
It's done. He can do it for everybody.
All right, worship team, would you help me? Let's sing this song. And if you're here today and you need prayer, you need to leave something at the altar, you're ready to overcome so you can go share your story.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.